Episode 316.
It's a learning opportunity, a learning platform. It's a connection to the industry, opening up a deeper channel of communication between the diagnostician, those aspiring to be a diagnostician, and the industry that provides the products, services, information, and training to the marketplace.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, automotive aftermarket professionals, to episode 316 of Remarkable Results Radio with Scott Brown, talking about Diagnostic Network. It was on this exact day that he launched, March 17th, 2018, that we were able to capture this interview for you. Carm Capriotto here, always bringing you the latest trends and insights that make our beloved aftermarket such a vibrant and changing industry. This episode is presented by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus. Now, they are the reason you enjoy these great aftermarket interviews. If you're ready for serious technical training and support online, on site, and on demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageguru.com. Hey, did you know that every podcast has their own show notes page? Find additional bio information and the episode's talking points with Scott Brown at remarkableresults.biz/E316. A big shout out to my new Facebook friends, Andy Phillips, John Kalupa, Daniel Wissian, James Krell, and Cybrin Vanderpoel, and to my new LinkedIn connections, Phil Carpenter, Gregory Sampson, and Marley Carter. Welcome. And if you want to become more of a podcast insider, get connected socially. I've got one convenient place for you to go, remarkableresults.biz/social. Every possible connection is waiting there for you, including the Insider Newsletter. Now together, let's learn what Scott Brown is up to. Of course, you know Scott as a shop owner of Connie and Dick's Service Center and the former president of IATN, also a member of many important industry boards. Scott and I were both in Seattle at the ATE, Automotive Training and Expo, and we were both included in a town hall panel. And right after we got off stage, Scott and I went to the special ATE studio for this interview to talk Diagnostic Network, Scott's brand new offering to the industry. If you earn your living in the aftermarket, and for that matter, serving the motoring public, you'll want to give this episode a serious listen as Scott unveils his plans for Diag.net that will focus on the diagnostician. Diagnostic Network will be a learning platform and an open and deep channel of communication for diagnosticians and aspiring diagnosticians while connecting the industry that provides the products, services, information, and training to the marketplace. Scott's working to connect industry with top-level diagnosticians and says he's not interested to create a silver bullet factory. Silvers sometimes can fix problems, he says, but the root cause in many cases is never understood. He says many technicians are lost if they don't have a DTC, and pattern failures will not be as common as they were in the 90s. Scott shares his vision along with the industry collaboration he is building to create a very powerful repository of aftermarket intellect. Peer discussions and peer reviews will be part of this program to help refine all the rich content. Scott sees the creation of the right building blocks for training and says it's time to break a mold and to improve engagement and transparency. Wow, interesting. Now get on the cutting edge and enjoy this great aftermarket talk radio with Scott Brown from Diagnostic Network. A warm welcome to Scott Brown.
Hey, thank you, Carm, for having me.
Hey, man, great to have you. How do you like my place here, huh? 16th floor?
This view is amazing. I wish there weren't as many clouds because I should be able to see Mount Rainier out in the distance, but not
I saw it the other day. I took a picture, and I will post it. But yeah, it's a beautiful place to be up here. We're at the ATE, the ASA Northwest Automotive Training and Expo. We just got done doing a great town hall panel on the future, and it was a blast. Thank you so much for being on it. We were with Donnie Seifer was with us and Jerry Smith from Parts and People, and we had a heck of an audience. I needed to drag you up here into the studio to talk about your new world because you just invented one. I think it was today.
Yep. I launched a new service announced a new service that we're going to launch.
And really, do me a favor. Tell us about the background. It was really something interesting that happened this morning. Because here we are on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
There's something going on the East Coast.
Yep.
And tell us how you connected.
Yeah, so a good friend of mine, G. Trulia, he runs the TST program up there in New York. And he runs every year, he runs a big event, and it's a one-day training session. I was there last year giving a keynote speech.
I heard it. I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Good job.
And the format is typically they have three instructors to bring some subject matter into the singular room. They had 460 or so last year. They moved into a new room, and they had over 600 today. So I approached G a few weeks ago and said, hey, I want to announce what I'm doing. I'm not going to be able to launch my product until May, end of May or June, but I want to use your event to launch it. And he said, well, yeah, come on in and do it. And I said, I've already committed to ATE here in Seattle, so let's see if we can leverage some technology to figure this out. So this morning at about 8:15, so that would have been 11:15 Eastern, we got together on a GoToMeeting, and we had practiced this a few days for the previous few days. And so we got together, and I was presenting in front of their group. The sound or the audio wasn't quite right. They got to see my face, and I got to show them a couple things, but we did have a video on backup or standby that was professionally done, and we were able to play that over, and it was amazing because as a result of that, we saw a ton of activity.
Is that the video that's on the site?
Yes.
Yeah, well done. Nice job.
Yeah, so the video that's on the site, that's a derivative of that video. So
okay.
The one we played was actually catered for the event because I wanted to thank the TST folks and whatnot. So it worked.
So anyone who's listening who was at the TST event, you need to realize that you saw the inaugural launch. You were there and part of it.
Yeah, that was the first exposure. So, I did talk to a few people at Vision a couple weeks ago. And they said, well, when are you going to announce what you're doing and whatnot? And I said, hey, TST is going to be the place. And they said, good, I'm going to be at TST. I look forward to seeing it. So it was really kind of cool to be able to connect yourself with those individuals that wanted to know what was going on. And as a result, I could see all of the activity that there were a lot of people paying attention and wanting to know more. And now they're going to get involved.
And I feel really cool because here we are a few hours later. We're sitting in the studio and we're talking about Diagnostic Network.
Yeah.
Wow. Tell me about it.
So Diagnostic Network, and it's diag.net. Real hard URL to remember, right?
I was looking at that and I said, how did he get that? Wow.
Yeah. Well, there was a guy that was squatting that URL for many, many years, and we negotiated with him, and we were able to secure that with him. So that was pretty key because we were trying to come up with a name to signify exactly what we wanted to do. So the focus is on the diagnostician, which in my opinion, is the key ingredient to a shop operating successfully. And, we talked about this in that town hall. You know, a shop that doesn't have somebody that has that high analytical skill set and the wherewithal to figure these difficult problems out, figuring out the things that, oftentimes expand outside of the test plan that the manufacturer would provide to troubleshoot a particular situation. These guys are pretty rare. What I've observed, and most recently talking to a lot of techs, is that they're trying to educate themselves through their own small little groups because they're already hitting the ceiling on what's being delivered to the marketplace today. So my goal is to connect industry with these top-level diagnosticians so that they know what products and services to deliver to the marketplace. We're trying to connect these guys more fluidly so that, we're bringing their subject matter experts, because a lot of these companies have some deep talent in the back end. And frankly, a lot of consumers, our technicians, don't know what kind of talent they have. And I think that if we get them involved, will develop a greater transparency.
So you're asking your partners, and we're going to talk about that, mm-hmm. to get on board and give some up,
yep.
and get involved.
Yeah, so, I had budgeted to get a couple of corporate partners, to kind of help support us moving forward, after we launch. And when I started approaching many of these companies in the last 2 weeks, I got... I'm over 10 10 or so.
I'm looking at the website.
Yep. Wow. It's amazing. So the response has been overwhelming because these, as I explain what our goals are and how we want to go about doing it to these companies, they say, we want to be part of this. We want to bring our subject matter experts in. And that is a requirement. So they can't just come to me and say, we want to give you some money because we want to advertise. That is not what I want. I want them to come in and they need to bring their subject matter experts. They need to bring some content. So to make it worth, to make the site more valuable to the end user, but also at the same time, they're indirectly marketing their product by letting people know what it is that they do and whatnot.
Let's get a little bit more crystal clear. As I have done some research and taken a look at your site, watched your video in preparation, it's all about for the professional, by professionals. And now let's really get into the essence of that.
What we plan on doing is allowing a or providing the rich communication platform that enables these guys to share their rich content and carry forward a discussion in a very productive way, bringing more visibility into the challenges that they face. We're also looking to the future, you know, as we look at more of these web connected tools. You know, you've got scan tools, and if you really start to think about it, every time you need to connect a scan tool to a car, it's usually because the car is in some sort of deficiency mode. And every time you connect, that's a potential learning opportunity. And if we get some of these companies that already have web-connected tools like that to start to realize where there might be some value in creating additional content, training, subject matter, etc., and it's more real-time because we're looking at what's happening today in the base.
Are you telling me that they wouldn't necessarily push that data out into their site, into their users' hands? And you're saying, hey, listen, let's create a portal that we can bring all this together?
Yeah, we don't have that all mapped out yet, but we've talked to some tool companies that are currently doing this, and their business model is that they provide technical support through this. So when a customer calls them, they have a visibility on all the data that's happened with that car, and they can more fluidly support that user to get the car fixed. However, it ends there. After they fix the problem, it ends there. There's no repurposing of the data. There's no case study creation. There are no sharing with other, like a training company to maybe produce content that would resonate well with the current demands in the industry. So I see that those are all disconnected pieces that I think we can end up bringing connections back together.
What about all the guys that are busting hump on Facebook, creating some private groups and doing their own case studies and using their own very limited networks to elevate themselves? Is what you're saying, this is the step that makes it, that takes it to another level?
I would say so, yes. I've talked to at least a dozen or so of those of the movers and shakers that participate in those Facebook groups, and frankly, they're there because they have internally reached their limits on the training and knowledge and information that they're getting in the marketplace, and they're creating their own learning opportunities. But the problem is, you know, it's great on Facebook because they can easily share that content. But the problem is that it is on Facebook. It is a very noisy environment. And it is not conducive to continued learning. They're generating content that really isn't going to be used again. And I see that as being a huge deficiency. Secondarily, you know, the noisy part, do you want to send your texts or do you want to tell your texts, hey, I need you to stay up to date, so I want you to join this group over on Facebook. And now they're on Facebook, and the next thing you know, they're buying a blender, or
they are mindlessly scrolling.
Yeah, right.
And exactly. I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just that it can consume us.
Right. That's the behavior. So in we're looking at all of those behaviors, and we want to help do it in the cleanest way for you to basically identify the things that you're most interested in. So if you're the BMW diagnostician and you're interested in all the trendy things that are happening in that diagnostic world, you can set your preference that way, or a tag filter to bring that stuff to the surface. There may be some other topics that you're interested to in as well. So you're customizing your feed of information.
That's interesting. Your site will allow that?
Yes. Yeah. That's the way. That's we've got a blank sheet of paper here, and we're rethinking.
So you're launching, but yet you're still building.
We are still building. We have a very, very good framework in place for our version one. There are many things that we've already ironed out or penciled out for version, 1.1 and 1.2. So, and we're going to be very adaptive. We've got a focus group of technicians that are going to help me identify any needs, wants, things that I can't see on my own. And we're going to continue to adapt and bring the right products and services to the marketplace.
I love it. You said that I could filter it, and that's interesting to me. So what you're saying is if I had a particular platform and in my, if you will, log in my profile page, I could click on a switch or two mm-hmm. that's going to feed me that kind of information and allow me to stay focused.
Right. So imagine you just log in and it's all set. You don't have to go to specific areas to find content or discover if there's anything there of value for you to read.
And so any content provider is going to have to provide that if you will, the tagging or the filtering that's going to allow the tech to get just what he wants.
We're going to make it very easy. So when the companies come on, they're basically, to add their content, they're basically posting to the site. And whether, it may have some additional rich assets like a document or a video or a photo or what have you. Every time they're adding things, they're being tagged in a clean, intuitive way. So, for instance, if we've got one of our corporate partners, maybe the WorldPack Technical Institute guys are adding some content, it's already going to be tagged as the WorldPack Technical Institute, and they are one of our founding mm-hmm. educational partners. So it'll carry that moniker,
okay.
And so it's clearly identified. And then the subjects that they mainly pertain to, they can, whether it's a manufacturer or a specific vehicle, they'll be able to tag those properly so that then as the end user is consuming content, he's saying, hey, I'm interested in direct injection on BMWs, and he'll be able to see that content as it's added, that pairs up with what's added by the manufacturer.
I'm talking with Anthony Frohwine, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Anthony, when you're in a shop, are you talking tech as well as product?
Whenever I do a physical training, there is product incorporated part of the whole training overall, but it's to maximize the time, whether it's diagnostics, whether it's inspection, whether it's installation. So that way they understand that, hey, by skipping that extra 20 seconds by putting on this set of brake pads and not replacing the hardware, hey, this might be the reason why that I'm getting comebacks. And usually being a ex-shop owner, I understand that the first time you get paid, the second time's free.
And so are the techs really starving for this information?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of times you have, we live in an industry where I like to say they cut the roast in half and they don't understand why, but they do it just because they've always been doing it type of an industry. So, to break it through that, they've been doing something for 30 years and they see as they haven't been doing anything wrong, but it starts to open up their eyes to, hey, you know what? It wasn't necessarily wrong, but there is a better way.
So you're really talking to me about an aha moment.
Exactly.
And tell me, when you see that happening more and more from technicians that you're out with, how does it make you feel?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, you really feel like you're giving back to the community overall. But ultimately, the way I tell them, I look at every single vehicle that I worked on prior to, or I had my customer, just like I'd put my family in that vehicle. I look at it as I'm keeping everybody else that much safer because the job's getting done correctly.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. I can't help but say the word silver bullet, and I know you and I talked a little while ago and I asked you that same question, and I'm asking you now on record, this doesn't seem like that to me.
No, we're not interested in creating a silver bullet factory because, frankly, that is not a healthy thing for the industry. If a guy, has a broken car and he goes in and researches some data and then sees that there's a likely case that all he needs to do is replace his part. And he goes after that, replaces a part. Maybe he fixes it, but he has no idea what actually fixed it or what the actual root cause was or what have you. Car goes down the road, and that's fine. But a lot of times they may take the top three or whatever, just sell it to the customer. And, you know, odds are good that they might fix it. But the problem is the customer paid for maybe a couple of extra parts, or maybe they didn't fix it, right? And maybe it's something else that really required the skill set of a diagnostician. So this is really the past, how we do things in the past have to change. And a lot of these things that are happening on a car don't necessarily involve a part replacement. The part's operation is deficient because we may have a circuit problem, or there may be something else causing a communication problem with that particular module. And you can't just go after and change parts anymore. I mean, that's just not the way that...
When do you think that trend is really, really going to start changing?
Very, very soon. I mean, we're already seeing the technology on the vehicles. The tech load on that automobile that's coming through the pipeline today is going to present a huge challenge for a lot of these shops. Because they're not going to get away with the silver bullets and
or the Swaptronics,
and these cars are very, very complex, and they all have different issues with them. So there's no the quote unquote pattern failure really is not going to be what it was back in the late 90s and early 2000s.
So it's layered.
Yeah, it's layered. It's very complex. And frankly, you know, manufacturer again, they build a test plan for every conceivable failure, you know, to diagnose a DTC or what have you. But what happens when the car doesn't have a DTC and it has a deficiency? It's not operating properly. Where do you go? A lot of technicians are lost if they don't have a DTC.
Did you ever call Microsoft and say, I'm having a problems with Windows 10 or Apple or however it works? And they say, we've never heard of that before.
Oh, yeah.
And you would think, same with the cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think they would have it ironed out, you know. I got an error message. Here's that number. And I specifically give it to them. And they say, I've never seen that before.
So I believe those companies have a big wiki database. And they're constantly feeding into it so that when they're on the phone and trying to diagnose a customer's problem, they're going to their own internal, if you will, brain trust of information. And that seems to be what you're talking about.
Yeah, but if you look at Microsoft and you look at a software company versus something that's operating on an automobile, it's a little bit different because you've got typically when they put the vehicle into the marketplace, the code is pretty secure. It's pretty well written. And usually when you have a problem with code or whatever, somebody's added something weird to the car, right? They added another element. Same thing applies for, you know, your PC. You may have some program that when it got installed, it changed a library or what have you. And now that's causing a conflict, and it doesn't play well with everybody else. And then error message reporting may be totally different. So that it is there are some similarities, but it's the vehicle is a different platform.
Okay, peer discussions. How's that going to work?
So peer discussions. I mean, you've got peer to peer, and really we want to start at the top. We want the top level guys to have a place where they can come in and collaborate. We are looking for affecting the industry. I try to equate this as a leading by example, meaning we want other guys to be inspired to move to that next level. But a lot of times guys don't know how to get to that next level, okay? So you're asking about peer review. I think that's a very healthy way of managing things. So if I discover something in my shop, you know, and during the course of a failure on a vehicle, and I do some studying, and I come up with something that really is interesting, I want to share it with others. Usually I do a pretty good job of vetting this, and then I say, hey, you know what, this is real. Because I proved it out on a couple of cars. I can see it. It's repetitive. Here, I want to share it. I want to present it that way, but I don't want to say this is the gospel, and I want to share it in an open way. And that way, I'm not coming across saying, hey, this is the way you do it. You know, don't ask any questions. No, everybody should ask questions all the time.
So I found something. I want to share it. Are you looking for someone to validate it?
Well, I think that will come organically through the network, because everybody will be on the same mission. They'll want to move towards the betterment of the industry and help educate each other. So if somebody did post, say, an article and it wasn't quite correct, or somebody looked at it and said, well, wait a minute, you should actually be testing it this way. So bringing in a suggestion and saying, hey, I'll tell you what, I've run into this before. I see what you're trying to do, but here's a different way that you may want to approach it. So there, the conversation now took it into another level of refinement to then try to articulate and bring that down. So, and what we hope to do here, you know, as we have these discussions and these really good, rich pieces of content, maybe we need to have some sort of closure, you know, where we take an article and say, hey, these are some of the bullet points, this is what's going on, and we categorize that some way. And then that might be an element for somebody's prerequisite to go to the next level. So if I came to you and I said, hey, Carm, I've seen you, you're doing all this magical diagnostic stuff, this engine performance stuff, I want to learn, how do I get there? And then you say, well, what do you know about X? And I say, well, I don't know very much about that. Here are a couple of articles that I recommend that you go read and understand. Let me know if you have any questions after you read them. And then you need to maybe take this course with John Thornton or Eric Ziegler or one of those guys to then understand it. Because I've seen it happen. These guys, they decide they want to learn this new subject. They go to this class and these guys are talking about stuff at a very high level, and they're not quite there. They're not ready to actually consume that data because they don't have the building blocks established to understand the concepts that they're talking about.
It's the my head hurts moment.
My head hurts, yeah, because you're playing catch up and trying to understand as you're going. You know, try to equate that to, you know, across the street here we have SeaTac International, and you've got an airplane that's spooling up and it's rolling down the runway, and you're still building the plane and trying to put it together while you're learning this class. So it's like, oh, I'm already committed, and I better know this before we get to the end of the runway. Otherwise, we're not going to survive.
Good analogy. Open platform. I'm getting a sense of that. You're looking to say, we haven't figured it all out, and in a couple of years, this thing is going to be exactly what the members will want it to be.
You know, it's going to go both ways. So this is why we want to bring in the manufacturers. And that's, we're not limiting it to just the aftermarket folks. We would love to have the OEs in there to open up dialogue and say, you know, this is the way we like to look at a car. This is the data that we like to, or how we want it represented on a scan tool. And we hope that they would open up and understand that and then bring those products to the marketplace that makes sense.
Let's go back to just a few moments ago where you said somebody recommends you read these couple of articles, you go get some kind of training. So you're not really creating a course outline. You're just having this peer-to-peer professional-to-professional network support each other.
Right.
You're not building curriculums. You're building support.
We're not going to build any curriculum. So that doesn't mean that these training companies can come in and say, you know what, we want to submit a couple of basic courses on electronics or electrical. Because that's one of the core knowledge pieces that some techs struggle with. And if they just rebuild on that, accept the assumption that they don't really understand exactly how the, you know, electrical works, Ohm's law or whatever, the electrical flow fundamentals. And so say that we have a company that says, hey, you know what? I want to give you this. I want this on your site. Well, now a technician would have access to that, and he would be able to go through some of that core fundamentals. The other thing is that we of course, want our peer members to say, hey, yeah, that is a good idea, or that actually does resonate and work well. Or we want them to be able to help. Again, we're opening up the dialogue between these service providers that are bringing products and services to the market. And we want to make sure that they're hitting the right marks.
There's all kinds of training companies out there, all kinds of great content, both butts in the seats and online. I almost think that you're becoming a repository of all this great content. And instead of going to this particular site and getting your training, hang out on diag.net and have everything at your fingertips. It's almost, am I sensing it's a single source site?
It could work that way. I think that, one of the principles here is that we want them to be able to discover training. And so you would be able to discover the type of genre training, but you'd also have the ability to get recommended training from folks and say, you know, you'd have your peers that saying, oh yeah, I've had this class before. This instructor is really good. He paints a very good picture on what you need to learn, you know, learn and move to the next
level. But that's
level.
Going on in all these forums already.
It is, but it's a little convoluted and it's not clear. You have to, especially the Facebook, you have to be there at that moment to actually consume that content.
Because you can't get it back sometimes.
Sometimes you can't get it back. You can't do a lot of really good searching to find that content. And so it goes out of sight, out of mind, and then, you know, people are asking the same question again. And that's another, another item that I think we can leverage or help. So if we've got a repeated type question, we could build a smarter system that would help identify that as the guy is asking the question, and perhaps we can then show, hey, there might be something over here you might want to just take a look at before you go further.
So you'd be like word testing and then going back into the database and seeing if you can come up with some related ideas or articles.
Sure, some recommendations, you know, just a couple of hints. Because if I don't have to ask a question and wait for somebody to help me and I can help myself, that's usually a better workflow than the inverse.
So I'm a partner and I have this great course that I want to expose or to support the program with. It's on GDI. Will you have be a learning management system, or are you going to move people over to the other sites?
Well, we have a couple of companies that we're talking with right now that have LMS that they're, you know, they mainly cater to the, you know, the traditional education, not so much to the in-service technician and continuing education. But I think some of those companies can deliver products like that. So we don't want them to put all of their content. You know, we're not asking them to put their LMS inside of our system, but maybe that makes sense down the road. Maybe there's a delivery methodology here that makes sense. Or we can provide a gateway into their product. You know, so
I can't help but think that this is there's the little baby chick that just hatched. And we have to feed it and nurture it. And you're really being way open to ideas because you, well, yeah, that's a great idea. No, we're not doing this, but we're thinking about that. I just sense that you're reaching out to the industry by saying, so what is it that you really want?
Really, the way I feel or the way I look at it is that if you look in the history of things and the way that we've always traditionally done things, doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right way to do it, right? So I feel like we have the opportunity here to break the mold and start to do things differently. I really think that bringing the industry together to provide some more transparency and engagement will be the key ingredient here, because when these manufacturers, you know, I'm talking about maybe a scan tool company, and they want to develop the products and services for their clients, and they, a lot of times I think they think that their product is the only one ever used in that shop. Well, in most independent shops, you've got a plethora of tools that are being used, and some work better on one car and some work better on another car. And I think when the manufacturers of these tools get closer to the end, right, the vehicles that are being worked on today, and they're seeing some of the challenges that are existing, and they're hearing from these technicians saying, man, I wish this thing would display the data this way, or I wish it would produce a report like this. When they start to see that, and they look at it, and they go, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Why don't we incorporate that into our tool? It does a world of good for the rest of the market. And so if you're in there, if you've got your competitor in there, I would challenge you to think differently about the way that you would approach that versus previous thought processes.
Shaping technicians of tomorrow. I read that on your site.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
The technicians, right now, I don't think there's a clearly defined guideline on really what the skill sets that you really need to be competent in this industry. I mean, we don't have the standards in place. I mean, there are huge deficiencies out there in our industry. So I'm hoping, and I positively think that we will be able to achieve this, is that through peer pressure or peer discussion, peer challenges, that eclectically, these guys will start to figure out the best ways to move forward. And then that's really what ends up shaping the technician of tomorrow.
I know you're working on a lot of stuff. I just want to be sure that everyone checks out the interview that Scott was involved with me with NASDAQ. We did at Vision. As of right now, it's not been released yet because it's only a couple of weeks old. But there's so much great grassroots bubbling up in really trying to take our industry and move it to a completely new level. Give me a scenario on diag.net. Here I'm a tech. I'm a shop owner. Does a shop owner get involved? Is it only technicians? And you have to answer that. Give me a scenario. I'm in the bays and I want to go to the site.
If you're a top level diagnostician, you know who you are, okay? And there may be incidences where you've got a car that you've solved a very difficult challenge on, and you found a very unique way to analyze and prove, and then along the way, we hope you're documenting what you're doing, because if you're not, maybe you should, especially when you're trying to communicate that to the customer, so you're value adding your service to your customer. But we would encourage you to bring that forward into our environment and say, hey guys, check this out. This is a car. Here's a use case. Here's what we've had. We've had this happen in the past, and this is a better way for us to analyze that. So they would put that content within our site, and we would hope that it would spawn some discussion on that, around that. You know, maybe the guy says, you know, somebody says, thank you, but maybe somebody else also chimes in and said, hey, you know what? I've run into that same situation. Here's how I have approached this in the past to solve it. So there becomes a learning point. In the shop, without a network extension like this, you would typically have a default on a car or a deficiency on a vehicle, and you would start looking at it, and maybe you shared that with one guy in your shop, and now that, you know, that became a learning experience. But it was only those two guys.
No, they
really
Googled
got affected.
It, Scott.
Well, or that. But what I'm saying is that these learning experiences that you discover, we want to apply a multiplier effect against that. We want to help these guys grow their knowledge exponentially in a shorter period of time by participating, by reading, studying, understanding what like-minded technicians are doing, and continue to move us, you know, up and to the right.
A multiplier effect. Sounds like the name of a horror movie or something. I love it. To me, it really helped me grab on a little bit more to your vision.
Right. And the same goes with the manufacturer. I mean, a lot of these manufacturers, scan tool companies, tool providers, they have a very deep talent stack. And we want these guys to actually write case studies and put them onto the site and share their knowledge. And they can use the multiplier effect too, because a lot of times there may be one or two guys in that company organization that then come to a consensus on, hey, this is a better way to analyze this. Here's the wiring. Here's what you typically want to look for. You want to validate this circuit. This is how you do it. And then this is the result. This is what you want to look for. And then, you know, talk about the theory behind it, to get everybody's head wrapped around it effectively so that it becomes clear. Now you understand what you did to that car to fix it. No longer are we just blindly doing things and magically it's being fixed and you go, wow, what happened?
Let's recap. Diagnostic Network is?
It's a learning opportunity, a learning platform. It's a connection to the industry, opening up a deeper channel of communication between the diagnostician, those aspiring to be a diagnostician, and the industry that provides the products, services, information, and training to the marketplace.
And we're going to get educated on there.
Every day you should be getting educated.
Let's talk about the Founders Program. I think I was hanging out with you earlier and your phone was going crazy. You just launched, and I saw an email thread from John Bridgewater who said, duh, no brainer, I'm in. How exciting. Tell us about it.
It's awesome. So we decided, we wanted to get this out of the bag and let people know that there's something new coming. And so we established a technician founders opportunity. So today we launched a web page. If you just go to our website, diag.net, there's There's some information about, you know, what our mission is, what we want to do. I've got a video that we shot where I'm explaining exactly what we want to do. And the opportunity is, $199, and you're going to join as a founder. That will cover you for 12 months from the time that we actually launch. Mm-hmm. That is a 17% discount off of the regular rate. And you can hold on to that discount in perpetuity as long as you maintain a continuous account with us. And in that, I'm assembling a nice package, a founder's package, nice polo shirt. And it's limited edition because it has our logo on it. It'll have a founding member on the sleeve. We'll also give you a T-shirt that has our new logo and a few other goodies to go with that kit. So we'll be sending that out to these folks. And so we announced this at TST. Instantly, we saw people just piling in, joining, and it's just the response has just been overwhelming.
Everybody knows your lineage. And a shop owner, a board member of so many associations in the U.S., you're so well seen. There's a trust factor there that I think you have, Scott, that people want to be part of what you're doing.
Indeed. And this is why, you know, when I went to the folks that wanted to help me fund this, I vetted them as well. I wanted to make sure because it is my credibility. I wanted to make sure that whatever I'm doing, it's for the betterment of our industry. We're not interested in, you know, catering to the that race to the bottom we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, where we're repurposing.
You're here to
data.
Elevate. You're here to build something we have probably not seen in years.
Yeah, this is built for the industry by the industry. We're not interested in reselling our data outbound to the Amazons or what have you. This is a professional's marketplace. And really, that this also emphasizes the fact we go back to all the stuff that's being shared elsewhere. I've had a technician recently just say, you know, I see all this stuff on YouTube, and it's good technical content, but the problem is that everybody has access to that, including a consumer, do-it-yourselfer, who essentially could take that professional out of the loop as far as providing that service. So this is a professional environment where professional data is being shared, and it is for the professional industry only.
I love it. Diagnostic Network. Now, I become a founder, and you launch, and there's some great thoughts that I have. Are you going to be open to input from the field?
Yep. I've already got a pretty strong team of 12 founding members that have basically joined on to be in my advisory team.
All right.
And I'm also asking, hey, if you've got a couple of friends that want to join in as well and be part of this, I would love their participation as well. So I want to have meetings with these guys. I want to make sure that we're in step and in tune, make sure if they're hearing something that doesn't make sense, that we get that on the table so that we can adapt and improvise as needed so that we're delivering the products and services that the market needs. And that we're doing exactly what we want our corporate partners to work towards.
Excellent. What didn't I ask you that you'd like to talk about?
I think we got it pretty well covered. We have a number of other ideas, and you know, this is going to spawn off all sorts of tangents as we move forward. And I'm really excited about the future because, frankly, I see OEs are using web-connected scan tools, and I would just love to start working with OEs to try to bring some of that data in more real time, help with the analytical process, displaying data. So I'm excited more about being closer connected to the automobile because as you know, that technology, that vehicle is producing a lot of data. And frankly, you know, a lot of that data is either overlooked or misunderstood or what have you. So this is what really excites me. But so once we get out of the gate and we start rolling, we're going to learn some things along the way, and you know, we'll continue to evolve, and it will be the members that help us drive us forward and continue to build and make ourselves better.
Before I say thank you, I want to remind everyone that Scott said the word data 3 times in the last minute and a half, and that is king.
Data is king, yeah, and we can, you know, you can get data flood, right? So you get overloaded in data, and sometimes you need to know what pieces of data make the most sense to look at and what part to not put so much emphasis on. So, you know, we hope that, you know, the vehicle's very, very complex. So we hope, and we're not limiting the vehicle, when I say vehicle, to automobiles. We see the heavy-duty truck industry in need of a support system like this as well. And so we definitely recognize that, and we want that participation. We will have a vehicle support database within our system so that we can normalize the data as people are adding a vehicle or what have you. Out of the gate, we will not have the heavy-duty data set, but that's right there. We just have to license it. If we have the demand for it shortly thereafter launch, we're going to adapt and bring that in as well. So we're excited.
Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for spending some time with us. Thanks for this. Give us some behind the scenes on the big launch, Diagnostic Network. Thanks, Scott.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity to, you know, tell you the whole story. And it happens to be on this magical day.
Yeah, I know.
And it's St. Patrick's Day.
It is,
so,
yes.
Kind of a double whammy today.
Should we
so
go
I'm
drink
excited.
Some scotch later?
We should go have an adult beverage of some sort.
Yeah. So you broke the code. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Scott Brown, and congrats on your launch of Diag.net and to hear your plans for this new industry tool. Find the show notes for this episode and links to Scott's previous episodes at remarkableresults.biz/E316. And thanks for listening to the Aftermarket's Talk Radio podcast. So much to learn and so well served up in the powerful medium of podcasting. If you're not subscribed to the podcast player you're listening to, please do it. Don't miss one episode, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.